Good evening to all of you, and God bless you. I want to continue with our series, The Ability to Learn and the Ability to Grow. And tonight I want to talk to you about something that should not be happening in your or my life. It's your brain. It's your head. You shouldn't let people get in your head. That's your head. That's your brain. That's your body. And what I'm going to teach you tonight from the scriptures about the ability to grow and to learn is that you should never let anyone else control you. The only one that should control you is God's Holy Spirit. Because perhaps before you became a Christian, you let other people control you. I don't need to go into that list. But tonight we're going to talk about what is empowerment and how do people get in a place where they start to actually control us. A long time ago, they used to call it getting into your head. And they call the shots. They tell you what to do. It's like a guy telling a woman after he slaps her around, if you ever leave me, I'll kill you. And so she never reports him. She never leaves him. That's control. And at one time, we were slaves to sin. We gave sin control over us. But I want to teach you tonight, again, what empowerment is and how God wants to be the one that gives you his peace. And you give yourself to him because he loves you. He wants to control you so he can get you to be with him into heaven. Give him a hand of praise. So tonight we look at John chapter 14 and we look at verse 27. And the Bible says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you the type of peace the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Why would he say that? What does fear have to do with it? Well, someone has taught us to fear God, and I can tell you right now that's unnecessary. God, yes, he is powerful, but God is not cruel. If you know the God that created you, you know that he has the best interest for you, whether you're male or female. Whether you're old or young, God cares about you. People say he wants to restrict you. He wants to keep you from enjoying this life. All of that, those are lies. And that's what the Satan does, the enemy, to get into your life and to pretty soon you're not free. And if you're not free, you're in bondage. And if Jesus died on the cross to set you free, why would you go out and get under bondage all over again? When Jesus said, peace, I give you. Peace, I give it to you. I leave it for you. But it's not the type of peace the world gives. So a contrast is being made between what the world says they can offer us and what God has for us. So Jesus speaks of his gift, and his gift is peace. And in the Bible, the word for peace is shalom. And it never means simply the absence of trouble. It means everything which makes for your highest good. So when God says unto us, shalom, everything that's meant for your highest good, what do you need so you're not only happy, but you're healthy and you are enjoying this life and you love people and people love you? The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape. The peace which comes from the avoidance of trouble and from refusing to face things. But the peace which Jesus offers us is the peace of conquest. No experience of life can take this from us, and no sorrow, no danger, no suffering can ever make it less. It is independent of outward circumstances. We don't have to look for trouble so we can avoid it when God's peace is protecting us. I want each of you, just raise your right hand right now. I pray the Spirit of peace would rest upon you, each of you, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. For Jesus said, peace I give you, peace I leave you, not the type of peace the world gives, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, receive you the peace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now we look at What is empowerment? Say that word with me, please. Empowerment begins when you take control of your life, when you recognize, hey, I've had enough, and when you take appropriate steps to make order out of what happens and when it happens. You are actually in control of what happens to you and when it happens. For example, as a child of God, you're not going to find yourself addicted to something that's destroying your life, your body. You're not going to find yourself in debt. You're not going to find yourself sick all the time. You're not going to find yourself afraid. You know, one man said that something was shaking his bed and woke him up, and he looked, and there was Satan right at the foot of his bed. And he looked at the devil and he goes, oh, it's just you, covered up and went back to sleep. That's the type of faith God wants us to have. Not afraid of anything. Not afraid. That's empowerment. And people who don't speak up can find themselves in trouble because they didn't take control of a situation and speak up when they had had enough. It's like, stop it. I said, stop. I don't need this. I said, stop. When you speak up because you've had enough of people disrespecting you, people mistreating you, or people ignoring you, or people abusing you. That was not God's plan for his children's life. God wants a better life for us. So these type of people, they let people keep pouring on more problems, more burdens, more responsibilities. They didn't pay attention, or else they just kept their mouth shut. And before they know it, their life is overflowing with too much to do, too much heartache, and too much misery. Is that the type of life we were meant to have? And if we have become children of God, why would we let that happen again? It's like, I know it's hard, but there has to be a distinction made between what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. So if a son asks you, can I come back home? And then he's dealing drugs from your house, and the police are always at your house, or he's throwing stuff or breaking stuff. You can't allow that. Well, he's my son. That is not the type of son God wants you to have. And I know that what I'm saying right now, we're getting a little bit uncomfortable. I'll say it again. Peace I give you. Peace I leave you. Not the type of peace the world gives. It's not people mistreating you. It's not people destroying what you have. You opened up your house to be a blessing to them, and they come in all hours of the night, slamming the door, doing whatever they want, and they break things. That's not what you have to endure. You learn to take control. And when you tell those kind of people, call the cops, oh, no, I could never do that. But then they call you back and say, Pastor, I don't have anything. I just lost my home. Now they kicked me out of my own home. Why? You allowed it. You allowed it. They don't say anything, and they wind up with nothing but one big mess to clean up. And this is why I preach this. This is why I talk about this, because you are God's people. I am God's pastor, one of his pastors. And so someone has to speak to us so that other people don't destroy what we have. Can you not patty cake, but give God a hand of praise? Okay, well, let's balance this, because some of us aren't like Pastor Mike, where we just grab a baseball bat and clean house. But now it is true, you don't need to start a riot, and you don't need to drop a bomb on someone, but you do need to know when to tell someone to stop. Put up your right hand and say, stop. Stop. Okay, Diana Ross said, stop in the name of love, but stop. Okay? I tell you this all the time. I like myself. So when people tell me, I don't like you, I say, it doesn't matter. I like myself. So it doesn't matter to me what you do. So what am I doing by that? Someone can say, well, you're conceited. That's not conceit. That's saying, stop. I don't go around telling people I don't like you, but I do tell people that's enough. That's enough. You're not going to do, I am not going to allow that. That is not why God raised me. I told you I'm not a big man, and I don't allow people to stick their finger. Let me tell you something. I don't allow that. And if you want to yell at me, you better go write it down and I'll read it. But you're not. I'm not created by God to be screamed at by you. Who's understanding me tonight? Because I ask that not because I don't know what I'm talking about, because some of you got your mouth open. You're just looking at me good. We came to church tonight? Yeah. And people are telling me, Pastor, we've been listening to you online. Keep preaching the truth like that, Pastor. Don't stop. If something is not working for you, if someone is doing something you don't want them to do, you better take control of your life and be the one who says when. Say when. Say when. Whether it's your children, your familia, your cousins, your uncle, your neighbor, some lady you broke up with 39 years ago, some guy that you broke up with when he was born, you didn't want to date him, and they got a itch, they got a scratch, and you're the target. You don't allow that, because if you allow it, you know what they want to do? They want to control you. And if God not only delivered you from sin, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, said, I'm coming back to take you to heaven with me, and I'm going to let you control me. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of the living God. Come on, somebody. Understand what I'm saying. Your life is too precious to leave in the hands of someone else. Well, thank you for that one person that said right. So maybe I better read this again. Why are you so quiet tonight? Is this a shock to you? Your life is too precious to leave in the hands of someone else. All right. And realize this now, because we're getting up there. You cannot expect someone else to take care of you. Maybe a long time ago they did. It may not be happening in this century we live in. You cannot expect someone to tell you, I'll tell you when you've had enough. I don't think so. And God is the only one we can trust to steer our life. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just Him. Lord, I place my hands, I place my life in your hands, and I trust you. I trust you want the best for me, and you never destroy whatever I build up. You guide me, you direct me, and you're gentle with me. I want you to control me. Well, so what do you need to do? You need to minimize your load. Now, we learned about this last week, the difference between minimum, maximum, and optimum. Well, now we're going to minimize our load. Overloaded people fail. Why? They always have and they always will. Why? They fail at marriage, they fail at ministry, and they fail at management. They fail at parenting, they fail at partnership, and they fail at professional endeavors. Why? Motivated by the desire to please, impress, or otherwise gain commendation, they take on too much, and in the end, they fail to reach the heights of success, or else they crash because they ignore their limitations. You don't have to take on too much. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. It's not heavy. Learn of me, Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly. He's not a taskmaster. God is not doing that to you. And you're going to allow another man, another woman, or some drug addict or somebody to do that to you? I don't think so. You know, when you first stand up, people go, whoa, I was just joking. You weren't just joking. Well, I didn't really mean it. Well, I don't want you talking to me like that anymore. I don't talk to you that way. In order to maximize your life, you need to minimize your load. You must decide what you will and you will not take on. You must determine what is worthy of your attention, and every situation that arises does not deserve your attention. You can cancel the call or tell them, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow, not at 2 a.m, but I need your help. No. You counsel a couple that has marital discord. As soon as they get home, they've been fighting since midnight, and they call you, the pastor, at 2 a.m. Can you get over here and straighten this out? No, you get on your knees and let God straighten it out, and I'll call you tomorrow. But see, they want to toss it on you. I told you not to marry that person. Yeah, but you don't know him, Pastor Mike. I love him. You don't love him. I told you don't leave California and head over there to get that job. You know, somebody, I don't know everything. I'm not prophetic. I don't claim that gift. But sometimes you can ask questions and you can get enough wisdom to see, no, that's not for you. You must focus your concentration on what is important. So is that important? Is it really? You remember, guys, when we played softball? And we not only played once a week, now we're playing tournaments. And sometimes we have round robins and we play two or three games one night at Twin Creek. And where you're out there, every weekend you're gone, you're not with your wife or your kids. She's sitting up in the bleachers all by herself until Jody comes and starts talking to her while you're out there playing ball. Because you think you're in the majors. You're not in the majors. You play for some San Jose team. So when we allow something to take over our life and we don't give attention to what God says is important, this is where this happens. Choosing which to respond to and which to ignore helps you to take control of the important things in your life. There was a teacher who brought in a big jar in front of his students, and he put these big rocks. How many have heard this? No one? One? You know, you guys, I'm short, so when you do this, I don't see a few of you. Okay, the teacher put these big rocks in the jar, and they filled up the jar. And he said, can anything else be put in the jar? And the student said, no. Then the teacher got these little pebbles and poured them into the jar, and they filled up the jar in between all the rocks. Now the jar was full. And he said, can anything else be put in this jar? And they said, no. And then the teacher took sand and he poured it into the jar and it filled in all the crevices between all the rocks. And he said, can anything else be put in this jar? And the student said, no, not now. And then he took water and he put it into the jar and it filled up everything and came up to the top. What are we learning there? We are learning to take care of the big rocks in our life. Not worry about all these little things that we try to fill up our time with. It's the big things like what? Like your marriage, like your health, like your finances, like your relationship with Jesus Christ. These are the big rocks. All these other little rocks, how many know now you don't need them? Hello? How many know you don't need them? It's funny to me. I say something to you and no one responds because you're going, wait. Little rocks, big rocks. I don't have that much time, so trust me when I say this is what you need to do. Anyway, no. Next question. How do I take control? How many would like to know? Five of you. The rest of you, good night. God bless you. Go home. You should not, cannot, and do not need to control someone else's life. You only need to control your own. You cannot dictate what another person does, what another person thinks, or what another person feels. You can only be in charge of yourself. And so to take control of your life, you first need to realize that you already have control over your life. Now, I know this is a kind of a strong illustration, but I need to get it to get your attention. Even if you have a gun to your head, you still have a choice of being a victim or fighting back. And even in the most horrendous situations, we have a choice. We always have a choice. You may not like your options, but you still have control, the power to choose which option you want to take. Is this the type of life you want? Is this the type of existence you really asked for? Is this the type of relationship with God that you think you have when you don't tithe to him, you don't read his word, you don't pray? You see, but you have made choices. And even when you don't make a choice, you made a choice. How many caught that? Okay? Even when you don't make a choice, you just made a choice. But you have to make a choice because you control your own life. Don't allow your kids to control it. Don't allow your relatives to control it. Don't allow people from your past to control it. And this seems kind of harsh for me, but don't take advice from Facebook. They don't really look that way. I asked some young people the other day, what the heck do you take pictures of your food for? Well, because I want to show people what I'm eating. Well, they're eating too. Yeah, but I want to make them think that, man, I got the most elaborate meal. It's a cheeseburger. It's from Chick-fil-A or something like that. Well, we got to take pictures of it. Say it with me. Take control of your own life. Turn to somebody, point to them, and say, take control of your own life. Continuing. And this is going to be news for you. Next one. You can't control everything. Is that news to some of you? You can't control everything. Realizing you have control, it can be an ego boost, but as it should be, but don't start having delusions of grandeur. Oh, look at me. You don't control anything. God does. Just like you're going to marry someone and you kick God out of the equation. You didn't come up with the concept of marriage. God did. And now you're going to exclude him? Guess who you're going to be running to when things don't turn out right? You don't control. How many of you can control the weather? Well, finally, I'm getting a response. There are some things you can't control. You can't control the weather. You can't control the laws of nature, the laws of physics. You can't control other people. Stop trying to. It's enough to control yourself, let alone trying to control another person. You can influence these things, and you might be able to persuade them into the direction you want, but you can't control them. You just can't do it, so stop trying and start focusing on what you can control. Somebody say, mm-hmm. Okay, now, again, I wrote in my notes, they will clap on this, so if you don't clap, I got to take it out of my notes. I haven't said it yet. Wait till I say it. See, we need help. Okay, here I go, and we'll see if you clap. You can make your best even better, though, by working toward making better choices. During the fall, they always bring up Krispy Kremes and somebody make banana nut bread and all this stuff. I know it looks good and every time you pass by there, but you don't have to eat it, or you don't have to eat that big of a piece, or you don't have to keep going back and have another one. Or you'll go to get one, and before you used to cut it in half, but now you cut all the rest of them in half and you take the big ones for you. And then guess what? Come February and you go, good Lord. Because what I'm saying by that is what you didn't take care of when you could have, it takes its time. It doesn't show up overnight. But little by little, you notice, I'm not healthy. I'm not sleeping. I have to take this or take that because I'm not the way God wants me to be. Just because you're up in age doesn't mean you're going to die. You know what they say to those of us that are old? You know what people say when they, how old are you? I go, 72. They lean back. They turn their head to the right a little bit, look out of one eye, and then they go, you look good. Because they don't know what else to say. Somebody came back to church, hadn't been here for probably 28 years, and they go, Pastor Mike, you aged. And I go, and you know what? Thank you for telling me that, because we don't have mirrors in my house. But you know what? You haven't aged one bit. Who do you know that doesn't age? Pastor Mike, you aged. Well, what'd you expect to happen? What? I mean, what? Thank God I'm alive, but watch this. Somebody said, you died. They just haven't buried you. And you know what that means? You gave up. You're depressed. You're sad. You're brokenhearted. You just gave up. Well, then why don't you just die? Just lay down. You just haven't laid down. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. I have come to give you a better life. Come on, give God a hand of praise. A better life. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter when you get saved. God came to give us a better life. Why wouldn't we take advantage of that? You truly only have control over one thing, your actions. Actions can be physical. I kick the ball, or they can be mental. I assume that she didn't like me. Some actions are habitual, while others require weeks of contemplation. Both habitual and special actions are based on decisions, choices that you make. Recognize that everything you do is based on a choice you made. Say, Nobody made you make that choice. So if you wound up in a place where you don't like, you took yourself there. You don't have to stay there. If you fell in a hole, climb out and go down a different street. Why keep walking down the same street, falling in the same hole? Go down a different street. Who understands that? Okay, then why? Some of you are doing that again. Wait a minute, a hole in the street. Stick with me, people. Work with me. Recognize that everything you do is based on choice, and you must always make a choice, always, even if you don't like any of your options. Choosing to do nothing is a choice. Choosing to walk away is a choice. Sticking it out, fighting back, taking charge, starting over, admitting defeat, and declaring victory are all choices. It is your job to do your best wisely. Come on, don't patty cake, church. Do it right. For me, I never know what people are going to say to me. Hey, Pastor Mike, they may stop me somewhere. Yes, I'll lean in, yes. And you know, when you talk to somebody, if they're standing here, your feet should be pointing to them. That's how you can focus and pay attention. If they're standing here talking to you and your feet are pointing that way, you're not really paying attention to them. If people are talking to you and you go, yeah, you're not really listening. You need to look at them. But I don't know what people are ever going to say. Some people will cuss me out. Some people will yell at me. Some people will say, when are you going to learn how to preach? You know, stuff like that. Because you don't know what they're going to say. And you know people like that too, but watch this. My brother, he has a saying that he utilizes whenever he comes across someone who is demanding or annoying. He says, thank you, good night. So when they say, hey man, did you hear the joke about the green turtle? Yeah, thank you, good night. Okay, watch this. He doesn't stick around being belittled or embarrassed. He just says, thank you, good night. Focus your energy on things you can actually make an impact on and bury the past so it can rest in peace. Sometimes all it takes is a simple good night. You just need to lay certain things to rest. Ya basta. That's enough. Take stock of your life and determine which things are holding you back from profiting. Have the wisdom to recognize what is dead and have the courage to put it to bed or to write it off. Constantly. I've been preaching this whole half hour and now you want to clap. Constantly ask yourself, how does this relationship, how does this situation, how does this decision affect the overall outcome of my God-given predestined purpose. One more time. Constantly ask yourself, how does this relationship, this situation, this decision affect the overall outcome of my God-given predestined purpose? This, you're not going to like when I say this, but you can't please everybody. Stop it. Stop it. And you got to hear this too. Not everyone's going to like you. Get over it. Just get over it. Find the people that do and stick with them. My last words to you tonight, thank you. Good night.